This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Happy Ada Lovelace Day. Ada Lovelace was born 199 years ago. She was an English mathematician credited as being the world's first programmer. Tomorrow is the day named for Ada Lovelace to honor the achievements of women in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM. Teachers, education advocates, even the White House champion STEM education and its role in creating a competitive U.S. workforce. But how do we ensure that the next generation of scientists, technology professionals, engineers, and mathematicians is diverse? Joining us now to talk about this is Keisha Reed, digital strategist and contributor to the website Technically Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Keisha, how did you become interested in technology?
So my passion for technology started at a very, very young age. I can briefly remember my mother putting me in a STEM camp one summer. Much to my frustration, she put me in a STEM camp at the University of District of Columbia.
And you were frustrated because?
I wanted to spend time with my cousins. I grew up in a really big family. We're all very close and close in age. Mm-hmm. So while they were going to football camps and swimming camps, my mother signed me up for this STEM camp, and that's how it started.
And is that typical, that people who get fascinated by STEM start early?
It is. You're usually put or introduced into it at a very young age.
But I've heard that middle school girls kind of peel away from this.
That is true. Middle school, there's a topic in the women in technology community, or just in technology in general, that girls between 7th and 8th grade, even as early as 6th grade, for some reason get swayed out of those STEM professions. You know, you're not good enough in math. You're not good enough in technology. And I think the pressures of that stigma when you're around
so,
that age.
So the message is more one of insecurity. You're not good enough, as opposed to this is boring. You don't want to put your time into it.
It's a little bit of both, because I think when you reinforce the idea that you're not good enough, or this is something that's just for boys, it lays it on very thick that, well, maybe I don't necessarily want to put the time in. Maybe, you know, I can spend time with my friends. I can participate in a sport, you know, swimming or cheerleading or something that girls do.
Hmm. On this topic of getting more girls and minorities into the STEM pipeline, I want to play a clip from Ronnie Ellington. She's a mathematics education professor at Morgan State University. She gave a TEDx talk last year on this topic.
What I realized is that there was a perception of STEM disciplines that they were hard and that only the special could make it. I would argue if people don't see themselves as STEM learners, they won't do it, no matter how good the curriculum is. So we need to say, well, how are we going to create a curriculum that changes the way a kid sees themselves, as Ms. Mitchell did for me?
Ms. Mitchell was her teacher who exposed her to really rigorous mathematics and got her hooked. Do you see students or even adults excluding themselves from STEM careers because they may be intimidated?
I don't think so. I think it's definitely something, and I'm only speaking on my opinions, it's something that is instilled very early on, especially for girls, that, you know, this isn't something that girls do. You know, girls become teachers, girls become nurses, girls, you know, go into professions that aren't, you know, in front of a computer, aren't engineering. And I think there are great strides to eliminate that perception in generations coming up, but I think there's a lot more to do.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Keisha Reed, digital strategist and contributor to the website Technically Baltimore. You may be right about coming generations, but the statistics currently are pretty daunting. The STEM workforce, the U.S. Census reported in 2011, women held 26% of jobs in STEM occupations. African Americans made up 6%, Latinos 7%. How does being a woman in tech play out in the workplace? I mean, what have you seen in the workplace or when you apply for jobs?
I've been in the technology field since graduating college. I started very early working for a few technology companies that were all male-driven. I was either one or two of, you know, the women in the office. So I think, you know, that pipeline to STEM women don't generally take.
Is it more complicated for Black women than for white women in the tech marketplace, tech employment place?
I think women in general, we have the initial barrier that we have to face, and I think Black women have an additional barrier that they have to face. And that's something that, once again, is, you know, stereotyped and instilled in you. You don't want to come off with the sassy persona. You don't want to offend or have your ideal seem as attitudinal, having attitude, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that Roni Ellington, in her TEDx talk last year, talked about. She said right off the bat, I'm an angry Black woman, but she said, I'm not really angry, I'm passionate. And
yes,
she had to sort of set that straight first. I want to play another clip where she's talking about ways to get more minorities into STEM careers.
The next piece is one of my other favorites, is utilizing community, social, and cultural capital. What I found in my research is that when people go into so-called impoverished, marginalized neighborhoods, they feel as if they're giving them capital versus utilizing the capital that already exists. So we have to be deliberate about saying, okay, these communities have something to contribute to our students' progression through the STEM pipeline. And I think we should be diligent about finding out what that is and utilizing it.
Are there programs or approaches that you've seen that are effective in getting girls and minorities into the pipeline and keeping them there?
Two that I can think of off the top of my head. One is Black Girls Code. Kimberly Bryant's based out of San Francisco. She started a few years ago, and her mission is to get young girls into the STEM field, and she does a great job of it. The second organization that I think of is Girl Development. We actually have a chapter here in Baltimore. They're about to hit their one-year anniversary. And what they do is, very similar to Black Girls Code, is that they have chapters across the nation that reach women. Well, Girl Development reaches women. Black Girls Code, you know, starts at the younger age set. And Girl Development, you know, they cover everything from HTML, CSS, JavaScript, even how to network yourself in an environment where you may not necessarily feel comfortable and you're going for that technology job.
Who are your role models? I mean, who do you think of when you're in a touchy situation? Is there someone you remember, she did it right, I should do it like she did?
You know, besides my mother, who is a great role model for me, I would be remiss if I did not mention her. I look at women like Kimberly Bryant. I look at women like Sheryl Sandberg from both sides of the spectrum that are doing great work for women in the technology field that I can look up to and say, hey, that's me. Erie Meyer runs Tech Lady Mafia, which is a listserv which I recommend all women in technology to seek out, apply to. There are great conversations that happen on there, how to get a job, how to get an apartment, and even how to deal with difficult situations in the workplace. It's a safe space for women to have those conversations where if you are, you know, one or two in your company or even 50 and 60 in your company and you still don't necessarily feel comfortable asking for a raise, negotiating, you know, your salary coming in or even where to look, how to work with recruiters, that's a great resource as well.
Tech Lady Mafia.
Tech Lady Mafia.
We'll put a link to that. I really appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Keisha Reed is a digital strategist and contributor to the website Technically Baltimore. We have a link to that site and to Keisha's blog, City Girl Goes Digital. We also have a link to Roni Ellington's full 2013 TEDx talk. That's all at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Goucher's new president, Jose Antonio Bowen. Stay tuned to 88.1.